Amen. All right, you guys can take a seat. Guys, can we give it a round of applause for our worship team real quick? Come on. All right, I just wanted to give you guys a quick reminder. I've got a couple announcements or things to just share with you guys this morning. But as a quick reminder, worship is such a sweet opportunity that we have. And it can feel like at times it's just something that's kind of happening in the room and you are still very present with either the people around you or people are going in and out to the bathroom, whatever that looks like. But I just want to give you guys a reminder that when we worship, worship is not only to remind ourselves of what is true, but it is genuinely an opportunity for us to connect with the Lord, that our words would not be just empty phrases that we kind of say and go through the motions, but they would truly be something that we can have a connection with the Lord and even really worship him for who he is. So I just want to give you guys that reminder, and I am really grateful for the worship team. But two quick announcements. One, we are starting a new series this morning at Wake. It is called Uncomfortable, and we're going to talk about really different hard conversations in the next couple weeks that you guys face on a daily basis, whether it's in your schools, friend groups, sports teams, on social media, in culture all around you. And so this morning, we're going to start and kind of talk about a biblical worldview, kind of lay a foundation for, hey, what does it look like for me to face all of those conversations with a starting point of knowing who God is and what is my purpose and how do I view all of those things in light of having a biblical worldview. And then next week, we're going to talk about how do we have conversations surrounding LGBTQ and how do we love friends or talk about those things in our schools or in different places around us. And so Jermaine's going to come and get to share with us on that. And then the following week, Luke Barlow is going to get to talk to us all about purity. And so these are and can be hard and uncomfortable conversations, but we want to face them head on and remind you all continually that your parents and your leaders are safe places to have those conversations. And hopefully even Wake is a place where we can talk about them openly and encourage you guys and challenge you in those. So last thing this morning, Chris Sherritt is here. He's over here to my left. Let's give him a quick round of applause. Chris is the director of our marriage and family ministries. And so he truly is kind of overseeing all of Wake. So he kind of gets to, from afar, be a part of what is happening here on Sunday morning. So I'm excited that he gets to come and teach and share with you guys. Chris, before he was here at Watermark, served a long time at Pine Cove Camps, which some of you are familiar with. So I'm excited for you guys to get to hear from Chris this morning. I'm going to pray and then hand it over to Chris. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to walk through this series, to talk about hard conversations, and to be reminded of your goodness in light of everything that the world throws at us. So Lord, thank you for this morning. We pray that we would be able to open your word, be challenged by it, be sharpened, and be able to leave these doors and these four walls to live in a broken world for a different purpose than what the world offers us, but to live for a purpose greater than ourselves, one that is fixed on Christ. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jonathan. Morning, everybody. It's kind of loud. How are you guys doing? All right. Hey, as Jonathan said, we got a new series we're going to talk about for the next few weeks called Uncomfortable. You guys ever been in an uncomfortable situation? You guys ever had a grandma or an aunt that does this to you where you feel uncomfortable or awkward around her? I was trying to think of some other situations where I've felt uncomfortable. You ever have this where you're talking to someone and they got something in their teeth or their braces and you're like, do I say it or do I not look? How do I not, right? I saw a picture. Sometimes pictures make you uncomfortable. This person decided to take their shoes off in a field full of mosquitoes and just let them bite them. That made me uncomfortable. Or I saw a picture of someone who fell asleep in the bathtub and this was what their hand looked like afterwards. And then there's just awkward, uncomfortable, like, family pictures sometimes where it's like, that just looks awkward, or why is grandma all by herself, or why is there a mannequin in your family photo? Why do you look exactly like your mom? Like, there's different family photos, or it's just, why? Sometimes I've felt uncomfortable or awkward. I don't know if you've had this happen. When you say goodbye to someone and then both of you leave in the same direction, you guys ever have that happen? You're like, bye, and then you're like, oh, do we say bye again? Do we just keep? Or when you try to do the fist bump or the high five, right, and then you switch, you're like, wait, is it going to be? Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Last one, sometimes it's just hugs. Like, we don't know how to hug. Either it's too close to your face or it's too long, it's lingering, or my hands are awkward. I didn't mean to hug you. Things like that, right? So all of those things make us feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm not sure how I should respond. So here's why we're doing this series. It says here, facing the hard topics and conversations that are all around us. So think about this. What are some of the hard conversations or topics that might come up that you might have to talk about, either with friends, classmates, anything else like that? What are some topics? Anything? Let me see hands. Show of hands. Somebody raise your hand. Yeah, way in the back. You got to talk loud. What? Okay, good. Yeah. LGBTQ plus, like all those things, that comes up in the back in the middle. Yes? Did you say the American flag? Okay, all right. Sometimes right now this year, just so you guys know, it might not affect you as much, but we're going to have a big election this year, so politics can come up. Maybe about religion, maybe like, why is Jesus the only way, or how are you guys different than us, or I'm a good person. All of these are conversations that come up in your life, and you can either choose to engage or ignore them, or just decide, like, I'm not sure what I should do. So here's what we're going to do. Like we said, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about, okay, here's two specific topics that are for sure going to come up that you need to be ready to answer. Here is the way I want to think about it. I was going to do this, but I decided not to. I was going to button my shirt wrong a little bit. Do you guys ever button your shirt up and you realize you did it wrong? Okay. My little fourth grader, every now and then, will still do that where I come ready for church, Dad, and it's like his shirt is off a little bit. When that happens, I know what he did. He got the first button wrong, and then what does that mean? Every other button is wrong, right? And so in the same way, as we're about to launch off talking about all these other issues, there is a couple of very essential starting buttons that you got to get right, or all the other buttons are going to be wrong. All your other answers, the way you think about these things, are going to be wrong. And here's what the Bible says the first button should be. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, starting point, first button, of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning, starting point, of wisdom. So as we talk about all these issues that are going on in our culture today, I want you, first of all, before you even talk to anybody else, you've got to decide, what is my starting point? What is my first button? Is it what I think? Is it what I feel? Is it what's popular? Is it what my friends say? Like, what is going to be your first button? And the reason that's important is if you get that first button wrong, how you think about all these different issues is going to be wrong. And so what Proverbs is saying here is, listen, the first step is, do you fear the Lord? Not afraid of God, but you have this reverence of who God is. I'm going to submit to his authority, his word, okay? That's my final authority. Does anyone know, in your own words, could somebody summarize what was the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden about good and evil? Okay, they'd be like gods. And what did he say? You be like God. What?
And you'd have all the knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah. Right, God's afraid. You'll be just like him. You'll have all of this knowledge. Here's what he said. Listen, he said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You know what he's talking about? He wasn't trying to tempt Eve just with breaking God's law. Listen, the lie in Genesis 3, this is really important for all of these issues you're going to talk about. The issue is not law breaking, it's law making. Does that make sense? Listen carefully. The issue isn't law breaking, like, just Eve, I just want you to eat the fruit. What Satan was really trying to get her and Adam to think of is, you get to decide for yourself. So when we talk about all these issues that are going to come up, let me just go ahead and tell you, the two biggest divisions that's going to happen is, well, is this just your opinion or is this what God says? Where you land on all of these things, it's going to go back to the first button. Okay, I like to think of it this way. Every issue comes down to, is there a God and has he spoken? So let's just say you're talking about gender and people want to talk about, what's your opinion? What do you think? Here's what I think. Here's the deal. Well, my question is, did God create gender and did God design gender for us? The way I think of it is another way to put this, is God the designer and the definer? How do you define marriage? Well, you know, that depends. First button. Is there a God who designed marriage? And is there a God who defined marriage for us? And what that does is, that means it's not my opinion. What gives life meaning or value or why we should respect each other? All those things. Well, first of all, is there a God who created us in his image? then that affects how I should treat everybody. If we're all image bearers, I can respect you. But if we're all just accidents, right? There's no purpose in us being here, then there's really nothing in nature that says I should respect you, okay? So is there a God and has he spoken? And the way I like to think about it from there, what that means is you have two options, okay? Either revelation, like God speaks to us through his word, or speculation, we guess. Like this is literally our only two options, you guys. If God has spoken, okay, first of all, nothing is more important. You guys know the importance of reading your Bibles? If God has spoken, nothing else is more important. I tell my kids all the time, you can't be close to God and far from his word. Do you guys know that? You can't be close to God and far from his word. So if God has spoken on these issues, then we need to listen to what God has said. But if God hasn't spoken and it's just speculation, guess what? We're literally just making it up. And you see our culture changing its mind through the years about different issues. Why? Well, it's just because we're making it up. What feels good? What's popular? What do we like? What don't we like anymore? And so things get turned upside down that used to be this way. We used to define marriage this way. Well, now we define marriage this way. We used to say there's only two genders. Now we say it's fluid. We used to, and we're just changing all the time because we're guessing, okay? And that's why in the garden, the lie that Satan was saying was, it's not about law breaking. It's about what? Law making. You get to decide for yourself. So here's the way I want you to think about your thinking. Let me give you two verses, okay? One verse says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Okay, according to human tradition, the elemental spirits or principles of the world, not according to Christ. So there's one way of thinking that wants to take you captive, okay? Do you guys know, how many of you watched the Super Bowl last weekend? Do you guys know companies paid millions of dollars for like 30 seconds? Do you guys know that? Listen, here's why, I'm not asking what your favorite one was. Listen, I said I'm not. Listen. The reason they paid millions of dollars was because they knew ideas are really powerful. And they wanted to put an idea in your mind that hopefully you would act on, that you would buy their product or like whatever they're selling, right? So here's what the Bible says. First of all, make sure no one is taking you captive by ideas. Now look at this second verse. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, just an opinion, what you think, right? Speculation, what I guess. Raised against the knowledge of God, what God has revealed. And look what it says. And we take every thought captive. So you guys see the two differences? Don't be taken captive by ideas or thoughts. Instead, you take ideas captive. Every time you watch a movie, you're listening to a song or read a meme or a book or anything, it is all based on an idea. And you can either be taken captive. Here's the way you can think about it is you've got these two options. They can take me captive or we should take every thought captive. So in life, you will either take ideas captive or you'll be taken captive by ideas. So as we talk about different moral issues in our culture, you need to decide, first of all, well, what does the Bible say? What's my authority? And then if I'm going to talk about this, to make sure people understand, this isn't just my opinion. Like God has revealed this to us. And so you need to know what the Bible says, which is what we're going to talk about soon. Okay? Last two things I want to do before we're done this morning. I want to give you three helpful definitions, the ways to think about this, okay? What we're talking about right here is the way you see the world or a worldview. It's your lens through which you look at all of life, circumstances, questions, decisions you have to make, movies, songs, everything gets filtered through your worldview. Now, hopefully, if you're following God's word, you're seeing life through God's lens, okay? The way God wants you to view the world. But if not, you're just going by what you think. It's a way of thinking, and here's the problem. A lot of people think, everybody thinks with their worldview. Not a lot of people think about their worldview. Like, why did you come up with that conclusion? Why do you believe that? Well, it goes back to, do I believe the Bible's God's word, okay? That God exists and God has spoken. There's a designer, there's a definer, okay? So the way I think about this, this is a verse in 1 John 4, it says, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. That's the way they're talking to you. They're assuming some things that's different from the Bible. When you hear songs or commercials or music or things like that or movies, they're coming from a viewpoint, a worldview, okay? The question is, do you see the world the way God wants you to see the world, okay? So last two things I want to define for you. are the words truth and the words faith, okay? Because the world will say, well, you have your truth. Everybody has their own truth. It's what I personally believe. And here's the question. Is there a truth that God has revealed that applies to all people for all times, for all places? So I want you to think about it this way. Is truth like ice cream? Ice cream flavor? So think of it this way. On the count of three, I want you to tell me what the best flavor of ice cream is. Ready? One, two, three. Okay. All right. Good. Great. Good job. Listen. All right. It's over. It's over. It's over. Here's the deal. The world says your truth, what you believe, it's kind of like ice cream. Like we're not going to argue over what flavor you just said is better or best, right? The world would say, hey, your religion, your morality, what you believe, it's just your personal flavor like ice cream. That's great for you, but don't tell me my flavor's wrong, okay? The way we need to think about truth, so that's one way to think about truth. It's just personal. It's like ice cream. The right way to think about truth, though, would be this. If I had a jar up here of M&Ms, okay? Now listen carefully. You're going to miss it. Shh. If I said now on the count of three, I want you to tell me how many M&Ms are in this jar. Now listen, here's the deal. You could all shout out a number, but guess what? There's only one correct number, right? There's going to be a answer that's correct. All the other ones, you could be really sincere. You're just wrong, okay? So this is the way it works. Listen, the world would say truth and morality on these issues and stuff is like your preference of ice cream. The Bible would say, no, there's actually a truth that's true for all people in this room, in this world, that God's decided. And it's nothing like, if you're sincere, well, that doesn't really matter. It's still a right or a wrong answer on that, okay? So that's the way to think about truth. And here's what Jesus said about truth. Jesus said, when he was praying for us as believers, he said, Father, sanctify them by the truth, make them holy, make them more like Jesus. And then he just said this, your word is truth. Now I want you to listen. He didn't say your word is a truth. Your word is my truth. He just said, your word is truth. So when we talk about these issues over the next couple of weeks, you need to be realizing, okay, the right way to think about it is God has spoken and it's God's truth. It's not just my opinion, okay? Last thing I want to define for you is how do you define faith, okay? Because the world has these really confused ideas of faith. They would say faith is believing in spite of the evidence, okay? The biblical view of faith is believing in light of the evidence. Does that make sense? The world would say, oh, you just kind of close your eyes. It's just your wishful thinking, or it's how you cope, or it's just your hobby, your upbringing. Maybe you're just sincere, okay? So let me help you think about it this way. Anyone been on the Skyscreamer at Six Flags? Okay. So this is actually me on the Skyscreamer. Listen, thank you. I took the picture. Thank you. Yes, that's not me up there. That's my daughter and her friend. So I don't mind heights. Like I've gone skydiving. I like these things. But when I'm on rides like this, my brain kind of goes like, what would happen? Like just what if there was some kind of a malfunction? Would we be okay? And I'm looking down on the ground. I'm like, nope, there's the freeway. There's the parking lot. Like we would be in trouble. But here's the deal. I didn't freak out because I was looking at that chain right there. Okay, that was holding us up. But let me ask you a question. Here's how I want to end this. Listen. Did the chain hold me because I believed it would hold me? What? Are you sure about that? Okay. So let me ask you a question. Think about it this way. Is Christianity true because you believe it's true? All right, let me tell you where I'm going with this. Listen, a lot of people will say this. How do I know the Bible is real, is true? Because I believe it's true. Here's the problem, you guys. That doesn't make the Bible true. You're going to meet really sincere Muslims or Mormons or people of other religions that believe their book is true. So this is the deal. Believing the Bible is true doesn't make it true. Believing Christianity is true doesn't just make it true. Having the right answer according to the Bible doesn't just all of a sudden make it true. The question is, well, has God spoken, and is it actually God's word? And then I put my faith in it. So think of it this way. I had faith that the chain was strong enough to hold me, so it did, or the chain was strong enough to hold me, and I put my faith in it. You see the difference? All right, let me end with this. Listen, when you're talking about any issue, what you've got to settle on first is, do I believe the Bible is true, right? It's objectively true, like the number of M&Ms, and I'm believing in it, or do I think it's just true because I believe it's true? If it's just true because you think it's true, guess what? That's not going to help you trying to convince anyone else or even convince yourself that Christianity is worth following, because it's like, well, it's just kind of like my flavor right now of ice cream that I enjoy, but it could change later, and you just enjoy whatever flavor you like. I'm not going to take a stand for God's truth if I just think it's like ice cream. But if I believe it is a true revelation of God that I can then put my faith in, now I can be confident. Now I can tell people, hey, listen, this isn't just my opinion. This is what God has said about these things, okay? So faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. Faith is believing in light of the evidence, what God has revealed. We have a great ministry here called Great Questions, by the way. If you're not convinced that the Bible is God's word, we've got a lot of resources that can help solidify that belief so you can know more about this, okay? But let me just end with this. So what do you believe? And then will you speak the truth in love? The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. So as we go into this series of conversations that might make you uncomfortable, you got to realize, well, first of all, do I believe this? And then I'm going to speak the truth, but I'm going to do it how? I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to speak the truth in love. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for our time this morning just to be reminded of your truth. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us clearly. And Lord, we glorify you as the only designer, the only definer of reality. And God, I pray for every single person in here that they would be convinced, Lord, that you exist, that you know them, that you love them, that you've spoken through your word. And then God, I pray that they would turn to your word to give the right perspective on all these issues that people are confused about in our culture. And God, I pray most of all that your Holy Spirit would work in us and sanctify us by the truth, because your word is truth. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're dismissed.